Once a month, we pick the brains of people who've met with success in starting and running businesses. We call it the ground floor. This month, we visit with someone who saw the potential in the internet. Project A in Ashland started making websites and software for people and organizations before a lot of us even had computers or knew what the World Wide Web was. Now, that's getting in on the ground floor. The success of Project A has allowed its owners to branch out. We'll get into that, too. We welcome Jim Tease, Project A co-founder and Art Authority co-founder as well. We have a couple of other organizations to talk about in there, too. But Jim Tease, thanks for joining us on the ground floor.
Having me, Jeffrey.
So what got you into a business supporting people with computers at a time when computers weren't really that widespread?
Well, I always look back. First of all, it's crazy that in 2020 it'll be 30 years of Project A, and that's wild to me.
Time flies when you're
having fun. Time flies, yeah. And this is a mom and pop shop. My wife and I started this business, and then we moved to Ashland. So we were young; we didn't have children yet. And we came to Ashland, and we're pretty much poor, but we were at the birth of personal computing. And I've always had a knack of working with, you know, if you think about it, our first three clients were Apple Computer, CB Commercial, and the Taco Bell Corporation. And so I've always had this knack to be able to work with Fortune 500 companies. And they had needs, and I was able to do that.
So what kinds of things were you doing for them, especially back then? I mean, it's hard to imagine you were doing stuff for Apple. I mean, were you using Apple computers?
Oh, absolutely. We were using Apple computers, but in the beginning, Apple, it wasn't the same company that it is today. And they were a struggling computer company, but they were focused on education. And so I had written something called Promising Practices in Primary Education. And it was a tool for third world countries to realize that you could use technology to help in your education. So I wrote that, and Apple got behind it, and we deployed that globally. And it wasn't just selling Apple computers. We were showing in Bangladesh how you used a tape recorder to help. So it had nothing to do, really, their mission wasn't to sell more computers in this instance. It was showing technology and how it was going to change things. We were literally at the beginning of change. With all that,
you really were. But what gave you such faith in technology as being such a salve for things that could help society?
I've always been a positive person, and to me, it's a tool. And I saw the potential in that tool. Before I did that, I wrote a medical imaging system where we were able to go in and scan, do brain scans, and take a look at this, and it was all on the computer. All on a personal computer, actually. So all of that, the ability, if you go back in time and look, the ability for us to make our world unbelievably better came from this thing called the personal computer. And I'm just lucky. I happen to be there at the right place at the right time. And my head is full of crazy ideas. If you get to know me, you know I'm crazy. And so I just always thought the computer was the tool for me. For my dad, you know, it was a toolbox, and he worked on things, and he was in the Navy, and he did electronic things, but it was a toolbox that he carried. This was my toolbox.
But you were envisioning things that computers hadn't done yet. I mean, you're talking about this medical imaging system on a personal computer. I can remember just trying to get word processing on a Windows 3.1 machine.
Yeah, those were the days.
I'll come back and pick up the thread there. Jim Tease is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange in this month's edition of The Ground Floor. He and his wife started Project A nearly 30 years ago and have had a few other ventures going since that time. We'll come back to the Jefferson Exchange. If you'd like to visit with Jim and talk about his success in the business world, join us by phone or email. We're back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 20.
Thank you.
It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. We're resuming today's edition of The Ground Floor. It's our monthly visit with an entrepreneur from around the region who has done a lot to recognize the value in a business, perhaps before the rest of the world did. And that certainly describes Jim Teese at Project A. He and his wife started the company 19 years ago. Is that what we figured out? Something like that? Almost 30 years ago. Okay, sorry. Yeah, 20-something years ago. But anyway, he's been helping companies. They have been helping companies with websites and software for nearly 30 years now, and it has allowed them to branch out into other things as well. Conversation you can join at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So back to the idea of ideas, I guess, is really what we're talking about here, because you, Jim Teese, have envisioned things like medical imaging systems that can run on personal computers, but we're talking about at a time in history when personal computers couldn't do that much. And I remember watching a computer choke on WordPerfect with 4 megabytes of RAM, You were envisioning things that were out ahead of what the computers were even capable of then.
It was, and that's why the Macintosh was so important, because it gave me the tool to visually create what I saw the future being. And back in the day, we wrote medical imaging software actually on a black and white Mac, and we were waiting for color to come out. And so we've always been, in everything that we've done, we've always been just a little bit ahead of our time. Sometimes I'm too far ahead of the time, and my wife has a trophy wall of all of my failures where I'm just too far ahead of the time. But yeah, we've always been able to kind of see and dream, what could you do with this amazing tool?
Have a few things come off the trophy wall, though, as the years went by, and you realized, oh, this did come to be after all. It's not quite in the way I envisioned.
Yes, that's another set of trophies that she has for me, and those are why we're not rich. So, like social networking, mm-hmm. You know, I had created this network, social network tool, and I was just too far ahead of my time. I didn't know. And it's called Active Teams. And the idea was that you were the center of the universe, and all of the teams of things that you do in the community and your friends and revolve around you. And, it was too far ahead of its time. And then soon we had MySpace and Facebook. And so she reminds me of that many times.
but talk about you were talking during the break about the fact that with Apple making the imaging stuff on a black and white screen, you had to work with Apple to get multiple shades of gray, at least enough to allow the imaging you were looking for.
That's right. In order to do this, we needed a 4-bit color lookup table, and the monitors were only displaying black and white. And so we got into grayscale, and we were able to do 256 shades through some trickery. So, yeah, we were working with the engineers. They were letting us know what was coming. Again, a completely different company. And it was very, very exciting times to be there and be a part of all of that.
I'm always fascinated by what level of detail somebody gets into. And so are you really good at the computer stuff yourself? Do you write code yourself? Are you better at coming up with the visions and letting somebody else do the execution?
So I am definitely on the vision side. I started as a programmer. And now I have an amazing team of programmers that are able to take my visions and create reality out of them. And so my place has shifted. I'm very involved in the community, very involved in lots of different companies. And so when you're a programmer, to be an amazing programmer, you literally have to be able to forget, you know, we would not survive in your studio here. There's too much sunlight and distraction outside. You know, we need to be able to focus. So I started as the programmer that didn't want to talk to other people. And then I trained myself how to not be that, so that we could do even more. Instead of just doing one, we do many, many great things at the same time.
But you have to have enough of an understanding of the programming then still to be able to guide people into, you know, what you're thinking.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You have to have understanding of programming, but the methodologies behind programming as well. It's very different today than it was 30 years ago. And so security is a large concern. So you want to make sure that everything you do is hyper secure. The internet is different from when we started. And so networking is built into the idea that, you know, success is how many people are going to use this at the same time, versus when I started, it was one user at a time using my program. Very different way of thinking.
That's true. You have all kinds of teams of people now. Has the internet turned out about the way you thought it would, or is it radically different from what you envisioned nearly 30 years ago?
It absolutely has turned out. Part of it has turned out exactly as I thought it would. It's still in its infancy, and we're still developing. The part that I didn't understand in the beginning is because I'm naive. I didn't understand the communication side of it and how people would use it as a platform to spread whatever their beliefs were. And I didn't understand the government side of it and their concern over change and how they want to regulate and control change as it comes, because it's scary at times. It's like a fire hose. And we just learned how to handle that, and now you're turning up the pressure and adding even more. And technology isn't just sitting in front of a computer now. We carry it with us. It's with us. It's part of our daily fabric. And as a society, we have to learn how do you live with technology when it's part of your daily fabric. You know, you see people walking down the street staring at their phone. They're not looking at the traffic. You see Uber. Uber is an example of technology empowering an organization to create a network of people that drive when they want to drive and help people when they want to help. It's a new way of working. And yet you see the struggles in Ashland where they're trying to figure out, well, how does that work in our community? And so that's the part I guess I was the most naive about. I always thought you just accept change as change happens.
But the whole Wild West aspect of it, and you got some people going, hey, wait a minute, about me? You're stomping on my job.
That's
like
right.
A cab driver would think that about Uber.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But it's like VRBO. It goes beyond that side of it, job protection and mm-hmm. everything else. It's a dynamic shift. And when you just get I'm still trying to learn how to handle it, but I'm good with change. I'm good with chaos. I'm good with it's okay. I don't do what I did yesterday. Today, it's okay. Let's keep going, because we're all going to eventually get to whatever we're going to get to, whatever the next wave is. And I can see how society is like, whoa, slow down. We've got to put some controls on this. So,
right, yeah, particularly with things, as you point out, like VRBO, where it's like, wait a minute, do the neighbors, they didn't
exactly,
sign up for having a hotel
exactly.
in the neighborhood.
That's
yeah.
exactly right. And so you have to figure those parts out. And you know, as it all becomes ubiquitous and as it all becomes, to me, technology is a tool, an empowering tool, the most amazing empowering tool. Where, you know, you could sit here and work for JPR and do what you're doing, or you could sit in a basement in your mom's.
Wait, I did both for a long time, but go ahead.
And do what you're doing. Uh-huh. You know, technology empowered us to be able to do this. And so we just have to figure out how to put controls on it. At the same time, don't stop it from going, because it's exciting when I think about what my kids' futures are and how they're going to be changed.
Truly, I mean, and is that a kind of a blank slate to you? You don't really know what the next.
It's absolutely a blank slate. Our daughter is a school teacher, teaches in high school, and she teaches agriculture. And the technology impact in agriculture is huge. It's awesome, and so she brings this kind of modern way of thinking to that world. And my son works in the Forest Service. And he's not on the firefighting side, he's on the forest management side. And that's all technology. That's just, you know, so it is exciting. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about their future.
Jim Teese is giving us goosebumps. He's our guest in this month's edition of The Ground Floor. He is the co-founder of Project A, which helps companies with their computer and internet needs and has been doing so for nearly 30 years. And he's branched out into other businesses as well. Join us as we talk about the vision for the world that he possesses and that might actually coincide with yours. Join us today on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And so I want to ask you about, you were talking about just in the early days. I mean, I'm still fascinated by the amount of information that was in your head before even computers seemed like it could fit the kind of stuff that you were dealing with and attempting to do. But then on the other hand, how have you managed to keep up with the demands of businesses, and how have you managed to keep them up to speed with what they need to do in the world if they don't understand the tech side of things that well? I mean, they know their business, but they don't necessarily understand the web or software, and you're trying to make sure that they keep up with the times too.
Yeah, that's a great question. We basically in the beginning realized if we created a set of tools that would empower small businesses here in the Rogue Valley or around, we could create a toolbox for them to take their business online. So we created something called Site in a Box, and that was our flagship product for a couple of decades. And that really helped us reach out to all of the small businesses, the local governments. If you think about it, we put Medford, Jackson County, City of Ashland, all online, all at the same time.
Wow.
And so we used our Site in a Box product as the platform to put that. And we rebranded it a little bit and called it eGov. But the idea was that for citizens, they would expect their government to be online. And so then we created what I call the community operating system. What if every nonprofit, every school, every – and this was, again, now it sounds like, yeah, Jim, we all do that. That doesn't – but this was in the beginning. This is what I had to kind of get out there and tell people. If we all work together and we use platforms, we could really take this internet, this web thing, beyond the business card online and create interactive experiences that we all now come to expect, basically.
You built the original IJPR.org, didn't you? Wasn't that a project?
I did. You know, I have an awesome place in my heart for JPR, not because of the amazing work that you do, but because we're progressive leaders in this next wave of communication. And IJPR and JeffNet and the launch, and we were there at the beginning, the launch of JeffNet, we were there. And I volunteered my company to provide the software and the tech support to help you launch JeffNet. And that was exciting for us. That was another fun chapter. And someday I'll write a book, and that would be an amazing chapter. Because in the end, we didn't we were overwhelmed by the success of it, and I didn't understand what I had just volunteered to do. Yeah, Paul Wessel laughs at me all the time. He's like, "Remember when?" I'm like, "Yeah, I remember." And so, but it's, you know, we were there at the beginning of that. And that's what got us into Ashland HomeNet. Dina and I bought Ashland HomeNet, and we've grown it from a small ISP in town to the largest ISP in town. And that was important because we wanted to make sure, you know, I work with corporations all over the world to do what they do, and I work with governments. But I wanted to make sure that Southern Oregon wasn't left behind as we went through all these changes. So we worked on AFN, we worked on Ashland HomeNet. And then once we got that dialed in, then we launched Rogue Broadband, which to get high-speed wireless internet to folks that live rurally in Jackson County. And so
What's the delivery? What's the infrastructure there?
It's basically fixed wireless. Mm-hmm. It's a high-speed wireless, and it's faster than DSL and faster than satellite. So for folks that – I always say if you're on a septic tank, you don't have very many options for high-speed internet. If you're in town, you have a lot of options. But if you're out rurally in Jackson County, you don't have that many options. And so we provide high-speed wireless internet to folks that live rurally. And we grew that it has now 850 customers. We're very proud of the growth that we've had there. And we've branched out into Douglas County with Umpqua Broadband. And check back soon. We'll be announcing some more branching out.
More broadbands?
More broadband to rural people in Oregon. A couple of years ago, I started talking about future-proofing Southern Oregon, and internet is how we do that. Internet is how we empower our communities to keep the kids here, you know, keep them in the communities they grew up in. And so I'm doing everything I can to help spread high-speed internet to rural communities in Southern Oregon.
Jim Teese is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is the co-founder of Project A and, of course, a number of other ventures that you're hearing about as well. And you can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. How many people work at Project A now, and how much has that fluctuated over the years?
In our peak, we were at 50, and then the dot-com bubble burst. And so through attrition, we're down to 10. And I tend to run each company with 10 or fewer employees. That's the goal, instead of having one big company now. So they're just smaller companies.
I was going to ask you about the dot-com bust, because obviously that came about 10 years into your existence and must have been a bit of a blow.
Absolutely. Almost knocked us over. If it weren't for tenacity, straight sheer will, and rekindled love that my wife and I have for each other, we wouldn't have made it through it. It was incredibly difficult.
You lost a lot of clients, I'm thinking.
We lost clients, relationships. I served on the Software Association of Oregon's board. I'd go to one board meeting, and it was a full table of people working on the industry. At the next board meeting, which was 3 months later, over half the table was empty. We lost companies. I mean, entire companies in our infrastructure just disappeared. It was a very hard time.
Grab your headphones, because we have a call for you. I want to put that person on here. This is Don and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange in our ground floor segment with Jim Teese.
Good morning. I have a question just off the wall here. I had the good fortune to work at Hughes Aircraft back in the 50s, where if you saw the movie The Aviator, that was a crazy good impression of Howard himself. If you remember the line that he repeated in his obsessive way, "The way of the future, the way of the future." He was an amazing man. He set out 30,000 people to work on new stuff. And this kid from Stanford who just graduated came down, worked for him, and built the first actual laser, Ted Maimon. He called us down the hall and said, "Hey, come down here. See it. It's working." And here comes this red light, which later changed eyes and scanned barcodes. And, you know, it's so exciting to see these things. And Hughes had a way of putting together people. My question is, what do you think, how's the best way into the future? I mean, where's the magic theater that for crazy people only, like in Steppenwolf? How do you assemble the people? I know Ted, our Uncle Phil, is building the place to apply new ideas, and finally building a bridge over Franklin Boulevard here in Eugene.
Is that Phil Knight?
Yeah, he's there's a huge structure coming up, and the purpose of the building is to get people together who have ideas and to figure out how to make them, you know, how to get them into the future, how to make them work. I don't know. You're lucky enough to have a wife who listens to your crazy ideas. I have one of those too. It's a great accessory. I mean, I saw medical imaging back in the 50s. People laughed at me, you know, computer-based imaging. And then I figured out that you could put a scanner and a printer and a copy machine together, but that was about 20 years too early. But nice. I don't know how to, you know, I just started making wooden toys and people started buying them. And I said, "Hell, this is a lot of fun. I'll just do that for the rest of my life." You know, I mean, that's.
All right, so let me ask that question of Jim. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Don. Appreciate that. Was there a time when it was a close call for you, Jim, where you could do this and you could get paid by somebody else to do something, or you could keep doing what you were doing, working for yourself?
Absolutely. When the dot-com bubble burst, I had that conversation with my wife that said, if it got to a point, family comes first, and so. I always knew that I could, you know, go get a job, go get a real job, if you will, if I did air quotes around that. And the idea there would be, you know, I've got to take care of our mortgage and our kids and all of that. But we persevered. We made it through it. And, you know, we're better off today than we were back then, definitely.
The other part of what Don and Eugene was talking about that reminded me of the Bell Labs story, where you know, when there was just one phone company basically for the whole country, AT&T, but you know, it was New York Bell and yeah, Pacific yeah. Bell and all that sort of thing, but there was also a Bell Labs, which was basically given free rein to go and invent stuff, and it didn't have to be about things that would make telephones better.
That's right.
I mean, is there enough of that, and do you provide that at Project A?
We do. I like to think that what we do, we take care of our big clients. And they take care of us, and we're able to then utilize the profits from those projects to fund important things that are in my head that I think we need to do. And I work with students here at SOU. A number of our team will work on them because they become personal passion projects for them. We're constantly trying to find ways to improve life, even though, yes, we have to pay the bills and go write software for corporations. And improve life, not just here in the Rogue Valley, but globally. One thing I'm working on right now is for seniors. As I'm aging, as my mother is aging, I'm realizing technology and the seniors, there's a huge disconnect there. And so I've been focused on that. When I say focused, that, you know, people laugh because I don't focus very well. But I've been spending time trying to understand what that means and how do you create solutions for that. And so the way I do anything, I started brewing beer just over a year ago. I go deep. I read every book I can on it. I watch everything I can on it. I learn, and then I experiment. And then in that first year of brewing, I did over 20 batches of beer, very small batches, but because I'm constantly experimenting. And I'm doing that now with software for seniors. I'm deep into it, and I'm trying to find ways to create tools to improve their lives as well.
I haven't asked about the Art Authority, which is another project you're going on right now, another venture.
Yeah.
And you're pretty proud of this one, it sounds like.
Absolutely proud of it. And this is a venture where I have three other partners. And it's the first time I've ventured off and created a business without my wife. And don't read into that. It's not anything, it's not anything negative. I asked her early on if she wanted to be involved, and she's like, no, you go ahead. I've had enough of your crazy. And so Alan Oppenheimer and I wrote software together. He's a brilliant man here in Ashland, went to MIT. And you always, you know, the key to success is to pursue opportunities as they present themselves. And we had an opportunity to merge with a local print shop that I say local. They're based in Ashland, but they were doing prints for museums around the world right here in Ashland. And Alan and I are software guys, and we wrote software for the iPad called Art Authority. And so it's a long story, but the short version of it is we acquired a failed.com called 1,000 Museums, and they had the rights to art from museums all over the world. So we turned that company around. It was upside down, and we spent the last 2 years turning it around, and we just passed the two-year mark. Completely turned around company, and we sell art from museums all over the world. It's produced here in Ashland and shipped globally. It's exciting. It's a fun and growing and profitable and awesome. It's a wonderful business.
What makes it different, though, from buying stuff from, say, the museum store?
So the museum store buys it from us.
Mm-hmm.
So we create the wholesale product for the museum store. And we sell the print. We don't sell the coffee cups or scarves and things like that yet, or earrings. We sell the print. So when you want the highest quality reproduction of a piece of art that you're in love with, or because it'll look great in your room, you come to us. 1000museums.com carries all of the art from all the museums that we do business with, and we license it.
Wow.
So they get royalties. And you get an amazing, high-quality piece of art.
So they decide if they want to do mugs or earrings or any of that stuff.
So
you just make sure you got the images available for them when they want to do
right,
it.
Right, and the print. That's mm-hmm. We're all about the reproduction.
Well, we could probably spend another hour talking about this. We're out of time for this one, though. We'll promise to get you back. Jim Teese is the co-founder of Project A, and obviously behind the Art Authority and Rogue Broadband and Umpqua Broadband, and we could go on and on. Jim Teese, thanks so much for joining us on
Thanks
the ground
for
floor.
Having me.